Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host today, and we have a very awesome guest today, and she would say she's awesome. That's how cool and awesome she is. But we are really going to dish today about leadership and women and advancement, and I'm delighted to say that our guest today is Jen Conkey, and she is the founder and CEO, and I'm going to slow this down because I want you to get her name. It's such a fabulous business name. Jen is the founder and CEO of Lead Her Ship. And I did say that right. It's Lead Her Ship. And so, Jen, I want you to say hello and welcome as our leading lady. Say hello to all of our listeners.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Don't you always love when you say hello and you're like, who are all these people? I have no idea, but hello. Welcome. Good day. Happy Monday. Right?
Absolutely. Mondays are the best.
You all see, when we're self-employed and we're on our own and we run our own, you know, empires, it is, you know, but it's still a Monday. It's still a Monday. I'm dying to talk to you today because, you know, you and I both, it's like, since I've met you, I've said, Jen, that is the coolest business name ever because everybody always talks about leadership, and yet you formed a business venture called Lead Her Ship. So I'm dying to know what was the motivation there and what was the pivot point and the process and meaning behind Lead Her Ship. It's such a cool name.
Oh, thank you. I wish that I could actually take credit for coming up with that name on my own, but I didn't. I hired a business mentor back in, I know, right? I wish that I could claim that greatness, but I have other great things that I did. So
okay,
at least I hired the guy that came up with it. Back in April, I went through this breakthrough experience using NLP and going through that training and realizing that I needed to rebrand my current consulting company, which was called JMC Consultants. And it was just, you know, it had my initials in it. It wasn't really fun. And like all of a sudden the business mentor said, yeah, you should rename it. And let me put it out there to my network. And somebody came back with that name. And I was like, yes, we need that name. Why didn't I think of that name? And so that's how it was born.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Somebody came back to you because you went out to what, your clients or just your circle of influence, and they said, "Hey, here's the name."
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Literally, just hit the network of influence came up with it. Yeah, I wish I could take credit for it. But when I heard it, I immediately resonated. I need it because at the time I was going through a situation where the clients that I was working with, they were struggling with being a female in a male dominated world. So I wanted to focus on helping women as much as I could. And so that name kind of just put it all together. It was perfect. So I said, yes.
Well, you know, I love this. And first of all, there's so many things I'm going to ask you because you came from a male-dominated industry in your career as well, which I can't wait to talk about that. But going back to the Lead Her Ship, you know, one of the things I hear all the time, and I'm really going to sit back and I can't wait to hear your answer on this, because we're told all the time that leadership is genderless. And that leadership, you know, when exhibiting and acting on the principles of what a good leader is, doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man. And I'm curious with you because you actually coined a name that's about Lead Her Ship. So do you, number one, do you agree with that? And number two, it's like, do you see a difference in leadership with women versus men?
That's a good question. And yes. So for me, I believe in the school of thought that gender doesn't matter. That's one of my primary principles. And the reason why we called it Lead Her Ship is because it felt as though the female species in and of its own self was struggling with leading in a male-dominated culture, and that they're just stepping into learning leadership more than, you know, men have had access to it, been trained on it, and been in those types of roles for a longer period of time. And so the skill set might be different, But I just believe that you can learn it, and gender doesn't matter. So even an introverted person or an extroverted person can learn to become a leader and learn the skills. It doesn't matter what the gender is. So we named it Lead Hership because we were specifically focusing on helping the women that kind of felt like, I hate to say it, but it is what it is, like a victim mentality of, oh, I can't succeed because this is a men's world.
Yeah.
And the man's world is holding me back and I can't influence them. So knowing that I came from that background and I was in a male-dominated industry at 19 years old, and I had to figure that out through trial and error, and I thought, well, I could just share my lessons and then other people can learn from that and it'll shore up the gap on the learning period for them because it took me a while. And so that's why I wanted to focus on that. But during that process, I ended up interviewing hundreds of men and hundreds of women to ask them and do like market research on, what do you think the difference is when you're a man and you're mentoring a female, or if you have a female that's reporting to you and she's in a leadership capacity, what are some of the things that you see them do that are successful? And what are some of the things that they struggle with? And I interviewed hundreds of women that I asked them the same question, like, when you're in a leadership capacity, and what is it that you're struggling with? And what is it that, you know, it keeps you up at night just thinking about, how am I going to get through this? So the men, when they were responding, they were very clear cut. Almost all of them said, it was a very high percentage. It was like 95% said, listen, the women who succeed, they approach everything and they become the subject matter expert. They're open to feedback. They don't take it as criticism and have all kinds of anxiety about it, and they don't take it personal. And they are results focused because they're the subject matter expert. But they have one leg up on all the men because they're super intuitive. And if they could just tune into that in a way that would help them influence and lead the men, then it's more nurturing. And that is where people are a little bit more successful on that side. So if they're the subject matter expert and they know their stuff, then they're going to earn the respect of everybody around them, whether it's a man or a woman. And I was like, well, that's interesting because that's pretty much how I did it.
Well, I love that. And I still want to get to your career and some of the fundamentals that you learned. It's like, and this is great, by the way, because you know what? One of the things for you and to all of our listeners, I mean, it's like we're international in reach and we love it. And we always love when we get comments on the show because, if we can't talk about it and converse about it, we can't learn. We can't, kind of hear other perspectives. And I think other perspectives along with our own are what creates greatness. And I know you do too as well. I'm curious though, because this is one of the things I hear from a lot of women is women will say, I've gone through this really, and these are fabulous, right? There's lots of different leadership programs. I've gone through this program, my peers are in the group or on the fast track, for management or being a leader, whatever it is, and especially in business and careers. And I will hear this so many times from women who will say, it's like I learned I need to speak up, right? Well, my peer who's a man says the same thing maybe that I would say, but the reaction and the response is very different, right? Like when women speak up, if we speak up, so many times we're told we're emotional. If we do, it's like kind of dig in and say, this is how it's going to be. It's like we're also tagged a bit. So I'm curious from your standpoint, how would you, because if you're in a male-dominated industry, I'm sure that happened. And it's like how, that's what I keep hearing from women. And I'm curious, if leadership is supposed to be genderless, how do women navigate that?
That's a very good question, and it is a real serious problem because that is true. It does happen out there. And here's how I navigated through it, because this is critical. I think what happens and what I tell my clients is a lot of the time, men can probably just go ahead and go to their meetings and pitch things and listen to each other, and there's that mutual respect. They have a bond. But if you take that same approach sometimes as a woman and you just go and show up to the meeting, and you haven't really touched base with anybody prior to the meeting and done some planning, unfortunately, it does take a little bit of that time to influence and find out what do they want to hear, how do they want to hear it, so that you can have their ear better. So what I did, I learned this from one of my male mentors. He told me this and taught me this when I was about 24. He was like, if you really want to move the meeting, you find out who is the most influential person in the room in the meeting, and then you build a relationship with that person. And then when you're in the room and you're pitching something and they hear you and they're on board, everybody else is going to follow suit because they're the most influential person. So I learned the process of what I call strategic influence mapping. So if I am saying, and it does, it takes some thought and some planning, but if I'm trying to drive an initiative in a corporate boardroom and I want to get it done, I'm going to remember and sit down and map out what is it that I want to have people think, feel, say, or do, and then who has the most influence on that. And then I devise my strategy to build a relationship with that person and find out what is it that they need and what, how can I help them with it, and build a true relationship instead of just going in and pitching something. So, and I do that in business too. You have to nurture the relationship in order to influence appropriately. Mm-hmm. And it is something that it takes more time. It does take more time, but I think that you're either going to spend that time in the beginning planning it out and building a relationship, or you're going to spend your time spinning your wheels afterwards and wondering how could I have done that better, and then still trying to figure it out. So I'd rather do it in the front end.
Well, and I'm not sure. You know what? I love the phrase. I love all that. And again, I have wise ears, right? I don't know everything, but I know stuff. That's my brother-in-law has said that, right? We all know stuff, but we don't know everything. And that was fabulous. I think what's interesting to me, and I love what you're saying, you know, for you and the word where you said, it's like, as long as it's the understanding that we're dealing with people. And people, you know, as much as we want to think there's a rule book on them, you know, the more we can learn from every example and try new things and see what resonates, I think that's what creates greatness as well. And I'm curious for you with your, you know, your career in a male-dominated industry. I'd love for our listeners just to hear, you know, what was your career in the male-dominated industry? I know, but I want our listeners to hear this, Jen. And then what, you know, what are maybe the two biggest takeaways, you know, that you could give our listeners about leadership, in your opinion, and your expertise?
Sure. So I started my career in the automotive industry when I was 19. I lived in California, but my godmother lived in Arizona, and she had this amazing opportunity for me to come out there and get a job at this place called TRW. And I said, oh, okay, what is that? She said, oh, well,
little company, right? Little company.
Yeah. But as a 19-year-old, you're like, yeah, as a 19-year-old, you're like, who's that? And so I found out, yeah, it's a big company. It's a big deal. So I ended up getting hired there. And when I was 19, I started off as an operator that was making driver side airbags. I worked off really hard at becoming the expert on the line. They made me a trainer. They gave me an opportunity to become a trainer. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it. And I realized I had a knack for communicating and training people and getting them up to speed. And then so my supervisor came to me and she said, I really want to teach you and develop you on how to be a line leader. And I said, okay. And so I started training on the line with her. And she started teaching me how to be, you know, the manager of the line. And then one day there was this position open and my friend dared me to interview for it. So I did. And holy crap, I got it. So then I was promoted to a leader, but I didn't know what it meant. Right. And so I was 19 years old and I'm standing in front of this group of people. My very first day, I'll never forget it. And I was like, hi. And they all knew me. We had just been working side by side the previous Friday. And so now they're like, all right, little girl.
I love it.
Yeah, all right, little girl. Well, don't worry. We'll show you the ropes because, you know, you've worked your butt off. And so a lot of them kind of took me under their wing because I earned the respect of becoming the subject matter expert. I wasn't afraid to work hard. And so I had their respect, but at the same time, I had a very autocratic style of, okay, let's get this done. Oh, hey, let's get this done. And a lot of them would pull me aside and say, hey, you probably need to say good morning to people. You probably need to say please and thank you. And I was like, oh, really? Okay. Yeah. And so I had to learn a lot of different things. And they mostly told me, you know, you have a tendency to bruise the male ego because you come in and you know what we need to do and you're just fast acting. But, you know, people need a little love. And so I started hanging out with these guys for probably about 8 years and learning how to influence people because they would observe people, figure out how they spoke about things. Okay, that's what motivates him. Go talk to him about that. And I just learned trial and error because these guys who at the time were like 45, they're my age now. And I was like, oh, they have much knowledge. They have much knowledge. And so I literally, my line leader was the only female that was around that was like developing people. And she got promoted and I took over. So I'm trying to fill some pretty big shoes. And I learned a few things. So I learned that the first thing is observe people so that you see how do they operate, what's their energy like, what's important to them, and what do they value, because whatever they value is where they're going to spend their time and how they're going to make their decisions. That's what's going to motivate them. So that was the first takeaway that I learned. The second one was involvement. Involvement is huge. So if you're trying to drive a change and you just kind of do the old Jen Conkey way of I'm just going to shove it down your throat, this is what we need to do, go do it, it doesn't work. So, and I unfortunately learned that the hard way. I had to learn about, okay, let's spin this a different way. Here's everything we need to do. Now, how do you think we can get it done? And then I got way more engagement from that. So I learned the art of open-ended questions and asking people their opinion, and then figuring out how to navigate through people's opinions that I couldn't implement, but still respect them and encourage them, you know, and build their esteem still. So those are the two biggest things that I learned. And then the third one was that, you know, it doesn't, my energy in and of itself, I don't need to be the one that's always setting the tone. So when I'm interacting with somebody one-on-one, I meet them where they are in terms of their mood, their energy. And then I try to get into rapport with them and then kind of lead them towards a different energy or a different vantage point to influence them. But if somebody's kind of depressed, and I even use this with my four kids, if they're kind of withdrawn and over in the corner, if I walk over there and I'm like doing jumping jacks, come on, let's go, they're not going to receive me very well. But if I walk over there kind of calmly and just sit down and slowly build them up to come on, let's go, it works a lot better. So that was one of the biggest takeaways that I took. That was my last biggest learning. But
I really love that one, the whole mirroring thing, because I don't think we recognize enough that it's not, you know, and I think you go here, it's like it's not about us. It's about getting the best out of other people, whether it's kids or colleagues or, you know, superiors or, you know, somebody in that's a peer in another department, right, or employees. I love that, you know, to kind of read them and then dial in the kind of way they're coming across. That's awesome. That's awesome. You were going to say something else, so sorry about that.
No, it's okay. It was a good segue. It literally taught me. I have these seven strategies to master influence. And in 2010, I got the opportunity where the senior VP of Home Depot, her name is Denise Kring. She asked me to start training her general managers on these influencing tactics. And I said, yeah. So they're at like a corporate training environment, training these general managers on how to influence using these strategies. It was amazing. And so what I've done is, since I went off into my own consulting business, that's where I spend, when I do my corporate trainings, that's what I spend my time doing, is teaching the leaders how to influence. We do role playing and I teach them all the seven strategies and basically try to focus on them getting commitment from their team instead of forcing that compliance piece. There's a time and a place for forcing compliance or asking for compliance, but I try to teach them how to influence, because then I could shore up that gap of learning that I struggled with for so long. And so I'm pretty passionate about trying to teach that. And I've noticed that in the corporate world, the women struggle with it more than the men, but there are still men out there that are autocratic and they're not influencing as well as they can. So I want to be able to help all of them have diversity in thought and come together to solve problems instead of being gender focused. So that's been my mission on the corporate side. Yeah.
I'm loving it all. We're drinking the Kool-Aid, John. We're drinking the Kool-Aid. I love it. I love it. I love it. You know, just for our listeners, give a little overview of just I know you said training. It sounds like there's consulting there. What are the scope of services that you do under leadership? And I'm curious. I don't even know, how long have you been in business? If I, you know, tell people kind of the longevity and the services that you offer.
Sure. It's been 5 years. Well, it's going on 5 years. October next month will be 5 years. What we do is there's two branches within our consulting business, and we provide training to corporate, and to the point where I'm trying to get on stages for annual sales meetings and help motivate the teams. So that's our corporate side, and I'll come in and I'll do corporate trainings. I'll even help them analyze their business and how their culture fits, how they're performing, and help them turn things around. And then on the entrepreneur business owner side is where we have, like, that's our biggest pocket. That's where we spend probably 80% of our time. And what we do for business owners and entrepreneurs is we help them develop strategies and implementation plans that scale their business. And then we even have a synergize. I know it's like a play on words again. That one.
You got to do it. You just got to do it. Yeah. I love it.
So it's a Synergize Mastermind where we've invited, it's November 9th and 10th, and we've got business owners that are coming. And what we do is you bring your business challenge and we help you solve it. You get in a hot seat, you get to introduce yourself, your business, what you're doing, how you do it, and what your challenge is. And then everybody kind of asks questions, gives you advice, and we go around so everybody gets a chance to do that. And then throughout the day, on the first day, I teach a bunch of content on lead generations, how to pitch yourself and your service. I provide sales scripts and closing. Closing tactics are huge because without sales, you can't have a business. And then I teach them how to plan. And when you're a business owner, you have to figure out how to integrate all of it. So I got to have enough lead generation to keep my pipeline full. I got to nurture my social media audience, and I got to figure out how to get money and revenue today. And oh, by the way, I got to figure out how I'm going to keep money and revenue coming in later. So juggling all of that, I teach them the system that I use. And I call it like there's five buckets that you have to focus on every day. So that's what we do for business. And then we have a third aspect that we're launching right now because we're at a different spot where we thought we have another service that we could provide. And that is that we have built our own wealth by using real estate and cash flow. So we've created a closed Facebook group where for $7 a month, people can join and learn how to build their own cash flow empire to start their retirement plan. So that by the time they're ready to retire, like you'll get some cash flow along the way. But once you're in retirement years, you have a lot of cash flow coming in. Plus you have this enormous asset. So we're starting to teach people those tactics too, on how to go out and purchase rental properties and hold them for themselves. And we're just doing it in a Facebook group and it's closed. So, you know, it's a situation where there's a lot of collaboration on ideas in there. And what we're trying to do is just show people, you know, you can build wealth by using these concepts and strategies. It's not like a moneymaker for us. It's more of like us trying to give back. So the mastermind is our biggest thing that we have coming up right now.
So back up a minute. So on the real estate one, is it how to buy and then flip houses? Or what is the kind of like concept of buying real estate? What's the kind of like is it Kiyosaki kind of plan with the rich dad, poor dad, cash flow kind of thing?
Yep, it's exactly that. It's not buying and flipping. We don't teach that. Oh, Stacy teaches that for another company, but we don't teach that to anybody outside of the company she works for. What we teach in this in this Facebook group is we teach people how to acquire a property and, you know, rehab it. And then, so you're going to rehab and renovate it. Then you're going to rent it. And then you're going to refinance it, and teaching them how to go look for those places, how to calculate a deal, an offer on what that would look like, and all the different ways that you don't have to use your own money to do it. So
very cool.
Stacy teaches the concepts on that. Yeah. So right now she's getting ready to create that closed Facebook group. She's in the process of it. And we have a couple of people that are very interested in learning those concepts. And so she's putting it out there. And she taught me, right? So that was the very first thing I became an entrepreneur about, was learning how to do cash flow. and she actually taught me how to flip houses. So, but we're not teaching the flip side. We're teaching the long-term wealth building. Yeah. But that's pretty much
our
business. Yeah, the corporate and the business. Yeah.
So a question, because I know you said, and you know, to me, there's gold with entrepreneurs, because it's like, you know, corporate America, I mean, so many fronts, just doesn't get it. And I'm saying that publicly, as somebody who came from corporate America in my, you know, my corporate career. But I'm curious with you, it's like you said you were in corporate America and you were dealing with, you know, leadership and management, but were you on the sales side? Like, how did you get into being an expert on lead generation and helping businesses with that side on the sales side? I mean, I'm curious because that is one thing, big thing that so many entrepreneurs and small business owners struggle with is, you know, they're technicians and experts in what they do, but the selling side is a little, it's hard to grasp. And there's so many ways to market your business now, but, you know, you got to close. So how did you become an expert on that, if I can say, because that's awesome.
Absolutely. So, I mean, a lot of people don't realize it, but leadership in and of itself is sales. You have my entire career. I was in corporate America for 22 years. And so I already had the foundation inside of me. One of my biggest things that I was known for was I was called the turnaround queen. They would put me in a building that wasn't performing and I would turn it around for them. And then when that one was up and running, I'd get to the next one. So I did a lot of turnaround situations at TRW, and I did turnaround situation at General Mills. And then when I got to Target, I did turnaround situations. So I was kind of the turnaround. And when you're turning something around, you're usually walking into a company where the culture is not very good. Everybody's upset. And you have to figure out how to sell these people on the new, all of the new, all the change. And so one of the things that I learned over a couple of decades is that there's definitely change aversion. and there's also people don't want to be sold on things. So you've got to figure out how to get them to want it without selling them on it. And that means that you actually need to get to know them. You got to nurture the relationship. So I would say that my sales tactics are not probably very good for a very cold market. But if you get in, if I can get somebody into my funnel, and once I get to speak with them and nurture the relationship and provide value, then it's easier for me to show them the bigger picture of the value that I can prevent or present to them, and it's helpful for them. Now, when it comes to cold market closing and like managing and networking through there, getting lead generation through a cold market, I did not know how to do that, and I just had to invest in myself. So I got trained. I got trained on how to do it. It took me a while, but now I understand exactly how to do it. You should never start a business from a cold market anyways. Always start it from a warm market. And then figure out, oh, how do I get to the cold market now, or the lukewarm market until I get to the cold market. But I spent the time, the money, and I invested in myself to learn how to do the sales process. Closing sales is not easy for anybody. It's not easy for most. And there's always that big thing, should I close from the stage or should I not? And so I personally feel like if you're, because I'm on the stage, I'm a keynote speaker, and I sell from the stage. But I recently, within the last 6 months, I decided to not pitch from the stage. And the reason why I did that is because I started just asking questions of
the
people.
That's like the contrarian view. It's like everybody does that now. And you're like, oh, I find it repelling. So it's delightful to me to hear that that's what you do, because I think that stands out more than anything else. So right on.
Yeah. You know what I do instead is I'm like, you know what? I don't want them to feel like I'm some slimy person that's trying to take their money, because I'm not. I actually want to help them. So I will give them something for free from the stage that allows me to interact with them afterwards. Because to me, yeah. I got to know whether or not I'm going to be able to solve their problem. So I have to get to know them. I have to diagnose what their problem is before I even know if I can solve it. And so I can't do that from a stage. So I'm not going to sit up there on the stage and try to hypnotize you to buy my stuff, even though I'm a hypnotherapist and I probably could. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get up there and I'm going to give you as much value as I can. Then I'm going to give you a gift that's going to be like the entryway to my funnel that shows you, okay, she knows what she's talking about and she could probably help me. And then they're a little bit more open to trusting me with what their problem is, and I can diagnose them better. And then I can really help them. So that's always been my strategy. And I learned that by trial and error in corporate America on how to get people bought into me as a leader. Because, and now in my business, they're not really buying my products. They're buying me. And it's no different than it was in corporate America. So that's how I learned it. And then on the cold market closing, I had to go learn that. I had to pay for learning that.
And it sounds like, well, you are like an onion to be peeled. I just want you to know. It's like, we're almost out of time, girl. I can't believe it. But, you know, quick, because I want our listeners. Yeah, I know. I want to have you back. I got so many ideas and, you know, getting you back. And you do your own podcast. What's your podcast name, if you don't mind sharing with our audience? What's your radio show and podcast?
Sure. We have our podcast is called Business and Bliss. And so what we do is we record it on Zoom. And we bring business owners on that can share, hey, yeah, I'm a business owner, or I'm in business in corporate America, but I'm in business no matter what. And here's my business journey, how it's helped me, how it's transformed me. And oh, by the way, have a really nice balance. And here's how I find bliss and joy in the world. Because it's just such a big problem. So many people are usually so focused on their business that they forget to do self-love, self-care, be with their families. Yeah. So I'm really an advocate of can you find a way to balance it all? And if you can, please come on my show and share it with the world that's suffering and struggling with it. So we recorded on Zoom.
That's
posted
like
on YouTube.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, and to our listeners, how do you want people to reach you, Janice? Like, if people want to reach out and find out more about you, how would you like people to contact you? Because we will have a link to your website on our show notes and show page. But how else do you want people to reach you?
Oh, you can just text me at 619-750-2090, or you can email me at Jen, it's J-E-N, at leadership, it's L-E-A-D-H-E-R-S-H-I-P, and then coaching.com. So Jen at leadershipcoaching.com. Those are the two best ways to get a hold of me, or find me on Facebook.
Oh, gosh, look at you. God, text me. That is so not me, but I love it. I love it. I want to ask you one final question, and then our time is done, but we will definitely have you back. I ask this to every guest that I have because, you know, I always want to leave on a high note. So what is one thing, and there's no pressure here, which I'm joking, is what is one thing that you can leave us with that just is going to make us feel inspired and motivated to be better of who we are as professional women, since our show is Women Lead Radio?
The one thing that I say is
Did you say? The one thing, Jen? The one thing. I'll do the one thing. I think, Jen, are you? Okay, the one thing we're just going to end with today is never, ever strive to be perfect, but always strive to perfect. So we'll go with that. I think, Jen, thank you for being our leading lady today. And to all of our listeners, I want to say thank you. Yeah, we love your loyalty. We are now an international radio show that we like to say. We have listeners from all over. I want to say again, if you can listen in, we're here every Monday morning at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m. And if you are interested in giving your comments on our show, you can check us out on Blog Talk Radio or on Connected Women of Influence. For now, everybody have a great week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.